You're tuned into 2SER Breakfast. It's 6:45 on a Monday morning. We welcome to the studios producer Will for this week's edition of Community Armchair. Morning, Will.
How you doing? I'm doing great. State of Origin coming up this week.
Very excited about that, are you?
I'm here to give you the worst takes on it. As a tortured Blues fan, we're going to look over the squads. Bear in mind, this will be biased, so prepare for that.
Okay, bring it on.
All right, selections for New South Wales. It's basically the same backline as 2021. Tedesco, To'o, Trbojevic, Adakar. I mean, it's an evergreen backline. That was the backline that worked with Luttrell and Tom in the centres. Thank God both of them are healthy and ready to play. Adokar, I was begging for him to be picked this year. He was snubbed last year.
You rock with the Fox, didn't you?
That was a huge, huge blow not having him in the side. As much as I love Tupo as a Roosters fan. Halves pairing of Jerome Luai and Nathan Cleary. It's a sort of a weird one. Cleary, I love him at club level. I think he's probably the best halfback in the league. But in Origin, he tends to go missing sometimes. Equally for Luai, he was pretty bad in games 1 and 3 last year, even though he got a try in the decider. I hopefully they can work it together again.
Might I just say you're incredibly courageous, saying critical things about footy players. You could run into them on the train. If they know your producer Will, they'd be like, right, mate, heard what you said about us on the radio.
Look, my opinions are completely unwarranted. I'm just some guy. Forward pack of Tevita Pangai Jr., Apisai Corasau, and Payne Haas. This is one of the biggest sticking points for me. No Cook in this team, not even as the backup. Damien Cook.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. You could have had him as at least the backup. I get Corasau keeping that spine of Luai, Cleary, and Corasau together from the Panthers, but you could have had Cook at least as the backup because he has an almost telepathic connection with Tedesco. But in any case, Payne Haas, thank God he's healthy. He had a little ankle twist in training earlier, but it's a great pick. You had to have him in there. The back row of Tyson Frizzell, Hudson Young, and Isaiah Yeo. Frizzell, not too many number 11s around, and he's been playing good footy for the Knights. Hudson Young was honestly deserved. He's finally proved his worth in getting a New South Wales Blues jersey. Hopefully he holds his cool because he has a tendency to blow up in games. Isaiah Yeo, fantastic player. On the bench, Junior Paolo, Cameron Murray, Liam Martin, and Nico Hines. Nico Hines was always going to be in the side. He deserved it. And the rest of that bench. is pretty solid. As for Queensland, they've sort of bucked tradition. They haven't gone with the pick and stick method. They've changed things around. No Ponga for Queensland. He's taken a couple HIAs this season, so Billy's made the wise decision to sit him down in clubland, which I think for his health, that's the best way forward for Ponga. But Reece Walsh is fantastic. He's been playing really good football for the Broncos. Selwyn Cobo, Valentine Holmes, Tabuai Fadeau, Murray Taulagi is blossoming into a superstar. Cameron Munster, I'm scared of whenever he gets the ball because he's that fantastic.
I'm just scared of him in general. He's another bloke I don't want to run into.
Yeah, he's that fantastic. Daly Cherry Evans is the captain, and a front row looks like the scrum pack looks like maulers. Tom Flegler, Ben Hunt, Lindsay Collins, Tom Gilbert, David Fifita, and Patrick Carrigan. Get ready for the buzzsaw, New South Wales, because that is definitely one. On the bench, Harry Grant. That's what New South Wales
should have
done.
How are you seeing this series playing out, mate?
Overall, this series is a crossroads for New South Wales. Do they have the metal to actually begin a new era, or is it the usual lamentation at the end of the year? We've heard rumblings in the past that this team could be a dynasty a la 8 in a row Queensland level, but I don't think we'll ever see that level again. I've seen this team both try their hearts out and just come up short like last year, but also disappear when it matters. To quote my idol Ray Warren, the trick with Origin has always been building a team of champion players into a champion team. Queensland did that and have been doing that for a long time. I hope New South Wales this is the year for New South Wales to finally get this one right and play together for its state and get it done.
Queensland always with that knack of scoring more points. And also this week, of course, on Thursday night is the women's State of Origin. There'll be a bit more of that on this here radio program a little later on in the week. Stay tuned for that. Now let's switch sports. Conference finals in the NBA. My gosh, what drama.
Chaos incarnate on one side and history made on the other. First, the LA Lakers were eliminated from the playoffs by the Denver Nuggets after a Game 4 defeat, 4-0 swept. The last time that happened to LeBron James in the playoffs was the 2018 NBA Finals. It was literally just a Cleveland team with only him and a bunch of flotsam and jetsam. And the previous time before that was the 2007 Finals, where he was basically in the exact same situation with Cleveland. But the Denver Nuggets finally break the duck. They're headed to the NBA Finals for the first time in franchise history. Nikola Jokic, their star player, leads the way, averaging 29.9 points, 13.3 rebounds, and 10.3 assists in 15 playoff games.
Averaging a triple-double, what a legend.
Mm-hmm. Around him, a bevy of interesting pieces like Jamal Murray, who's come back to the playoffs after being injured last year. Michael Porter Jr. hitting three-pointers with authority as a legit third-option scorer. Another great option in Aaron Gordon, and a deep bench with nice pieces like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Bruce Brown, Reggie Jackson, Young Bones Highland, and the 15-year veteran known as Jeff Green.
Yes, and the East, geez, that was an exciting finish there yesterday.
Wow. On the East side, remember how I said no team in NBA playoffs history has ever come back from a 3-0 defeat in the playoffs?
Yep.
Well, the Boston Celtics have a chance to do it tomorrow. They lost Game 3 last week, but have rattled off three straight to send it to a do-or-die Game 7 in Boston.
Yep.
Miami have been awful the last three games. Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo went 7 for 35 on field goal attempts yesterday in Game 6 in Miami. Granted, Jimmy did give the Heat a big chance to win by putting them ahead by one point from three straight free throws. But with just 3 seconds out of the timeout, Boston got the game-winning shot off a tip-in from Derek White. They defended Marcus Smart's shot perfectly, but nobody picked up Derek White off the inbound. Nobody boxed him out, and he managed to rise like a salmon and tip it in for the win.
Rise like a salmon.
Yep. The only other team that came close to overcoming a 3-0 deficit was back, I believe, in 2002.
I think it's 204
A team that came close was the Blazers, I believe, back in 2002, where they came back from a 3-0 deficit against the Mavericks, but lost Game 7.
Can they do it? We'll know this time next week when we adjourn once again. For a bit of community armchair, thank you so much. Will, I guess we'll also have a chance to either commemorate or commiserate what happens to the Blues.
Oh, God, I'm hoping. I can't stand it. I can't stand more pain.
You might not be in next week. Who knows?
Yeah, I might not be.
Thanks very much.
I might be lost somewhere. Who knows?
Getting beaten up on a train by Cameron Munster. thank you very much. He's flying colours now from the You Never Know album. This one's called Oh, you're on 2SER Breakfast. Thanks, Apes. Well,
appreciate it.